From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant. AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
So have you ever heard of July 10th as 7-10 day?
7-10 day? That is not familiar to me.
Well, that's surprising because it's a weed holiday.
No shit.
Yeah,
there's
like 420.
One?
Yeah. Apparently, and this is IMHO, real dumb. It's called 7-10 day because when you turn 7-10 upside down, it looks like oil. It's all about different types of oil, THC, like shatter or vapes.
Okay, now you're just making shit up.
No. This is legit. I mean, obviously, it's just, you know, a Hallmark holiday for weed. Like, they just made it up to sell shit.
Right.
Well,
not who
like
made up
most
420?
Holidays are like, yeah, I mean.
That's, I'm just thinking to myself, like, well, I guess it's as legit as 420. Like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Fair. Well, in remembrance of 7-10 day, which was... At this point, many days ago.
Well, you know what, babe? Unlike other days, I will smoke weed on 7-10.
Well, you gotta cook up some shatter.
Oh, I don't know about all that.
What else? Tell them what we're watching.
Oh, we're finally watching The Bear.
Finally.
So now we're in season 2, so everyone can stop yelling at us about seeing The Bear. Enjoyable.
Yeah, perfectly enjoyable. Yeah.
There's definitely a part of me that was like, I kind of wish that I had watched a show like this before I worked at a restaurant.
I'm curious what the difference is. Because, of course, we both worked for a long time in restaurants.
Yeah. There's something about the attitude that they're bringing to their careers and wanting, you know, to put their best foot forward and stuff like that. And there's sometimes when, you know, I was younger and it's not my business, so I don't care. You know, like, I'm just there to make my money and leave.
Sure.
But there were times when I would think to myself, like, if you really wanted to... You could think about this in a more serious way, like thinking about being the first person somebody sees that morning and setting a tone for their day and like smiling over their coffee and making it a cheerful experience so that they're like, ah, I feel good this morning. I'm going to go tackle my day. Like, you know, or being the person at the end of the day that's like providing a really nice meal and people remember what they worked so hard for.
Yeah.
It's delicious food and I get to go out and enjoy myself and have someone wait on me. Like, there is something about that service that you're providing that you can take a lot of pride in. And I don't think I had that at all when I worked breakfast. I was like, ugh, I hate everything and everyone.
But to me, it was very dependent on that two-way street, right? Like if the customer, you know, had an attitude of, you're the machine that brings me my sustenance, now do it.
Right.
Peon,
I know.
I was just thinking the other day of a table of these, you know, I was 25, they were probably close to my same age, maybe a little younger. And it was the worst day. I mean, a brunch shift on Saturday is something that everyone should have to do in their life so that they can understand it. And like, it should be mandatory for citizenship. Uh-huh. I think you should have to do, you know, 18 months of brunch service.
Or at least some brunch and then like a Christmas retail.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, something 3 months like of seasonal retail.
I mean, don't get me started, but we should all be rotating jobs. But anyway, so horrible, horrible day. And this table, these three kids, just like, you know, very average table. They were fine. They got their food. They were nice. They left. And they left this little, like, pre-printed punch-out card that was just like, hope you're having a great day, you know, something positive written on it. I don't even remember specifically what it was. It was like one of those, like, Dove chocolate wrappers messages, but it was a little punch-out, little piece of cardstock. And I'm like, almost started weeping. And I went outside and I found them in the parking lot talking. And I was holding back tears. And I'm like, I've just been having a really awful day. Mm-hmm. And that was just really nice. And that was a really nice gesture. And I just wanted you to know that it made me feel good on a bad day. And the one of the girls was like, can I give you a hug? And I was like, yes, please. And I just hugged this stranger in the parking lot.
Aww.
All right, thanks. And I, you know, I got through that day and it was, woof, that was one of the tough ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it has been a week for us. We're dog sitting.
Yeah.
We got a new house guest, Lilo. If anybody wants to foster or adopt an adorable 7-year-old gray pit bull with
little
the sweetest heart in the world,
but
she's looking for a home. We're kind of halfway housing her.
Yep. That's it. That's what we're doing right now. A halfway house for dogs.
Yeah.
Not a bad gig.
No, it's not. It's not. It's nice to have them for little short spurts. So that's been our week. But there's a big whole world out there that also had a week.
That's so true.
And we want to talk about that a little bit today.
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff in the news recently about sex and marriage week and couple weeks.
Sure.
And some that y'all sent us, some listeners sent us some headlines or tagged us in some stories. And we were like, well, dang, let's throw together some current copulations.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so nice to be thought about.
It is.
When you're out there and you're just reading the news and you're like, I know who needs to hear about this. Right. Eli and Diana.
That's giant great. Dildo in Mexico?
Yeah.
I know. I know who needs to know about
these
this.
These are the thoughts that make people think of us. It's
I love
great.
To be associated with giant dick statues. But yeah, recently there's been some like ethics questions about AI sex robots. You know, we love talk about AI up in here. There's a mayor who married a reptile in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
There were several pieces of legislation or like court cases that kind of caught our eye.
Yes.
There's some new stats on marriage in the U.S. Ooh. That people were talking about. Just a lot of different things. So I say let's just dive into this smorgasbord of sex and marriage news.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey there, friends, come listen well. Eli and Diana got some stories to tell. There's no matchmaking or romantic tips. It's just about ridiculous relationships. A lover might be any type of person at all. An abstract concept or a concrete wall. But if there's a story worth a second glance, we'll put it in a show, Ridiculous Romance.
A production of iHeartRadio.
Well, recently, there's been a bit of a spate of people throwing things at performers in concerts, concerts. Like bottles and crazy, like BB Rexha was like hit in the eye with a phone or something and got like a black eye.
Oh, man, I'm going to go on a rant. No, I'll stop.
I was about to say,
I'll stop. But just to say, it makes the news and then someone says, I could do that.
Right.
And they try to get the views and the clicks and the hits and all that stuff. And it's awful.
It's me. I did see someone be like, well, I don't know, in the, you know, 70s and 80s, we were throwing shit at the stage, too. And of course, if you go all the way back to Shakespeare times, they were throwing shit. So it's like kind of an old behavior, not a new behavior.
It's the other side of it, too, where the news reflects trends that already existed, but makes them seem like they're like, this month, we're going to report a lot on this thing that's happening as if it's new.
Right. Well, and half of it is so that, oh, well, hey, boomers, what do you think about this? And like, oh, hey, millennials, what, you know, so we can all argue with each other.
Exactly.
In fact, we're all the worst. So,
yep.
And have been forever. But The reason we're bringing this up is because this time at a Lil Nas X concert in Stockholm, Sweden, someone threw a vagina-shaped sex toy at Lil Nas X. And of course, Lil Nas, a humorous guy.
Yeah,
he's got a great sense of humor. Yeah. So apparently he just dodged it and then he picked up and asked the crowd, quote, "Who threw their pussy on stage?"
What else can you say
in
that kind
of
situation? Also, I'm pretty sure, I promise I'm not speaking from experience here, I think those aren't cheap.
No.
Right? So like, who's throwing that up on stage? Like they can just give it away.
Somebody had some good seats to the Montero tour.
Right.
And decide, you know what I mean?
I like,
they must have enough
close,
money.
You've already got disposable income. Yeah.
I got questions though. Is it used? Is it new? Was it in the box? No.
In
was
the
it
box.
Homemade?
Homemade.
The box in the box.
How would you homemade?
Somebody has homemade their own little fleshlight. You know it's true.
3D printer and a silicone mold.
3D printer or a pillow.
Uh huh. And a
bottle of
corn syrup.
Gross.
I don't know.
Why is it so sticky?
I don't know what people do. Why is it so sticky? Common question. Title of your sex tape.
I don't know. I might prefer that, though, to what I think is probably the most unusual thing thrown at a performer on a stage, which is when Pink got showered with somebody's mother's ashes.
No.
During her show.
What?
And the person was like, "Oh, my mom is a big fan." It's like,
oh,
look, man.
No.
That is insane to me to put some like human ashes on somebody.
No, this is.
I just think that's crazy. I don't know how you would.
Well, and imagine. These are ashes, right? But like, it's a human body. And I'm just, like, in my mind, I don't know, too many horror movies. I'm just transposing that to other forms of the human. Like, if it was just dismembered body parts being thrown up at Pink on stage. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, is it really that different? This is just another chemical form of someone's corpse being thrown at you. It's very gross.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
And also, like, if you're a fan, why would you want to disrespect her like this in the middle of her performance? I feel like your mom would be like, "Stop it. Pink is trying to do some aerial."
Right.
And you need to leave that bitch alone.
Also, it's not like that's some sort of permanent resting place.
Not really.
Like, your mom's going to get showered off,
okay,
mopped up,
uh-huh,
and, like, end up in the sewer somewhere. So I this doesn't seem like...
Doesn't feel respectful.
I don't know. Maybe mom was like, "All I care about is Pink, and I just want to, even for a moment, be scattered over her dancing
like,
body.
If but one particle of my ashes goes inside her eye or something,
oh,
I will be forever part of Pink."
Wow. I don't know how I do know how I feel about that, and it's terrible. I don't feel good about it at all.
I don't know how. As a matter of fact, I have just got in touch with my feelings, and
yeah.
I know exactly how.
No,
I
was trying to pretend like I was waffling on that one.
You were not waffling.
No. Also, I don't know if anyone's ever seen actual crematorium human ashes. It's not like the dust that you see in the coffee can at the end of Big Lebowski, where it's just like a powder that dissipates in the wind. It's like gravel. Like,
ew, really?
Human ashes don't burn down to a fine dust. They burn down to like what you scoop out of the bottom of a fireplace.
Dang.
Which is a mix of dust and like large
chunks,
particles of probably carbonized bone and things like that. Like,
so you're telling me that she was pelted
with
gravelly bits of someone's mother?
Definitely.
If I were, I don't know. I feel like Pink probably was like, "All right, back on the road." You know what I mean? But for me, I'd be like, "I need a minute."
Yeah.
I need a hot minute.
Like I said, someone literally threw a corpse at you.
Yeah.
You know, by any other name. So, sorry, Pink. Well, speaking of death, I guess that's where we're starting this episode. This one a little more direct. A dialysis patient died of a heart attack during sex. Now, specifically sex with one of the nurses that was treating him. This nurse first told the police in Wales after this guy died that she had no relationship with him, that he'd called her up to say he wasn't feeling well. And she came out and just sat in his car with him for 30 or 45 minutes, quote, just talking. But turned out that they were doing more than talking. It turned out they actually had an affair for a year together.
Wow.
They met while he was, you know, getting dialysis. He was treating him.
Yeah.
And she was like, ooh, this guy's kidneys do not function. I gotta get me some of that. And they started doing it on the date on
the
DL.
Does that give you hope after all the Red Bull?
I'll just say I'm literally terrified of dialysis.
Oh.
Like, I don't do well with needles. I do not like it. Get a little weak in the knees. I can handle it. I know some people straight up pass out, and I get it. But I can't, like, watch when they're doing it. And the idea of sitting there while they, you know, distract yourself if you don't want to hear this. But they, like, pull the blood out of your body, throw it through a giant machine that's basically an electronic kidney, and then pump it back into your body to do the job that your kidneys do. And I don't know if I could do it. So I'm so terrified for my poor kidneys.
I have a friend who had a terrible kidney disease. Still does. She's had to have 2 kidney transplants.
She's like a spokesperson for this disease now, right?
She is.
Yeah.
I want to say it's FSGS.
Yeah, FSGS.
FSGS. And yeah, her brother gave her his kidney, and then a year, even not long, it failed because it was too close of a match.
Yeah, so the disease was like, great.
Yeah, awesome. Another one to attack. And then she just got another one. Fortunately, she got very lucky and got another kidney, and she's doing really well. But she was on dialysis 8 hours a day.
Oh, my
God. Like, her whole job was to get her blood cleaned. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was her life. And I was just like, I think that's what I would hate the most when I think about medical problems where, like, your entire existence is nothing but doctor's appointments, cleaning something out of your body, putting something in, like, whatever, just sitting, waiting constantly, like, pain and being uncomfortable. I just can't imagine it.
I do this all the time, and we all should. I am very grateful that my body works as well as it does.
Yeah.
And that I don't have to deal with those. And I am certainly impressed with people who do. And, you know, whatever, we should be making everyone's lives as good as we possibly can. But I think we all could stand to be a little grateful for our bodies functioning.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's wild what some people have to go through just to live.
Right.
So thanks, body. Keep it going.
True.
Keep it going, because we'll all have some problems someday. Literally all of us.
Being able-bodied is only temporary. Sad but true.
Well, okay, so anyway, back to this story, because, you know, what? This guy died of a heart attack. They were having sex in his car. He's half naked. He's got his pants down around his ankles. And this guy died. And the nurse, of course, freaks out. But she decides, let me call my friend and coworker and see what I should do. And her friend is like, hello, call 999, because this is the UK, so it's 911, theirs is 999, which actually makes more sense. It's even easier to dial, right?
I've heard, actually, that we did that on purpose so that you wouldn't accidentally call.
But I'm wondering, back when there were rotary phones, it was a lot harder to butt dial.
Yeah, but 999 would take even longer, because you'd have to go all the way around.
Oh, that's true,
too. So 9 and then 1-1, nice and fast.
Then that's probably what it was. You heard it here first, folks. We solved the mystery. Anyway, in England, it's 999. Her friend is like, call 999. And the nurse refused. She said no. So her friend is like, well, I guess I'll be right there, and showed up, and she called an ambulance herself. And obviously nothing could be done. So yeah, ambulance shows up. Obviously police show up. And she's got this whole other story about what had happened. We were just talking. He took his pants off, I guess. You know,
he just took his pants off.
And just, you know, sometimes you're talking to people and they're just like, oh, man, I just had a big lunch. So let me just unbutton and pull all the way down around my ankles.
Jeez.
Her other nurse friend shows up and starts trying to CPR this guy, which I guess this nurse also didn't try. And it didn't work out. So she was taken off of work. She was struck off.
Struck off.
And she can no longer work as a nurse for having, quote, brought the nursing profession into disrepute, which is a very British way of saying you embarrassed us all.
I mean, I guess I see why.
100%. I mean, isn't there, you know,
you should probably not do that.
You're
any
sort
of things.
Probably not. Probably unethical to have a relationship with your patient, but
I don't know. Is that true?
I don't know if it's illegal.
I know it's not okay if you're a doctor, you know, a psychological doctor. You can't have a relationship with your patient.
Right, right.
But I don't know if it's actually technically unethical if you're just like, I'm seeing you for your heart and I think you're hot. Let's go have dinner. Yeah. I don't think anyone cares about that. But of course, she's sneaking around and then, you know, denied him care, essentially,
that's
because of her own shit. So that would probably be more the problem.
Mm. Here's my question. Have you ever had a hot doctor?
Hot doctor.
Hmm. Or a hot nurse.
Or a hot nurse. None come to mind. I'm sure there's been some hot nurses, though.
Sure.
But, you know, again, knock on wood, very, very lucky to not have to have cause to have many doctors or nurses about me.
Oh, yeah, because you never make doctor's appointments for yourself.
Also have not needed to go and get like many operations or anything. I did have a hot dentist one time.
I was going to say I had a hot dentist.
Yeah, hot dentist.
In fact, the last dentist
and
I saw.
And several of his techs were hot, too. So maybe that's where all the bodies. The dental techs.
Oh, technicians. Yeah. I thought you said texts. Like he was texting you.
Oh, yeah. Hot he texts. Sent me some hot texts.
I was like, your dentist did what?
Text.
You're like, if only.
His assistants and
I just
dental
got this
technicians.
Hot text from my dentist.
It says, are you flossing?
yeah, no, we recently, we both had the same dentist and she was hot.
That's true. She
yeah,
was true.
She was a little punk rock dentist.
That's right.
With a very Russian name, but no accent. So probably spy. And now she
likely
knows all about
that's
our
probably
teeth.
Why she was like, oh, your teeth look terrible, Diana. You should really do something about that. Here's a plan over the next 3 years that will cost you $25,000. Also, do you know the nuclear code?
Yeah, I was going to say $25,000 or the nuclear
code.
Or,
and or. No, it's not or. She's
right,
like,
yeah, no,
oh,
she needs both.
Your insurance is crazy. You're going to have to pay this bill.
What's great about dental insurance is that it's only like, you know, $25 to $40 a month.
Right.
And then if something goes wrong with your teeth, you also pay for all that.
Right. But to be fair, if you call them, they will laugh at you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They say, ha ha, you're poor. You don't deserve good teeth.
Having teeth was actually a pre-existing condition.
Oof.
So.
So maybe think about that next time and don't have teeth. Good news for you. You're
now.
Well on your way.
Yeah, they're falling out one by one.
Okay. I'll tell you who's got great teeth.
Who?
CW actors.
Hey, that's
like,
true.
Like Smallville actress Allison Mack.
Great segue, babe. You got us from one story to the other just
that's how
seamlessly.
That's how we do it here.
That's right. Well, yeah, so the Smallville actress Allison Mack, who recruited women to the NXIVM sex cult.
Oh, God.
Just got secured an early release from prison because she helped build up a case against the cult leader, Keith Rainier, who she worked for.
Okay, that should get you something.
Right. He was the leader of this cult. And basically, Allison Mack would go out and she's like the Ghislaine Maxwell. She was the trustworthy woman who was like, come and, you know, join me and my friends in this group. And, you know, nothing crazy. All you have to do is some forced slave labor, pose for nude photos, and perform sex acts with Keith Rainier.
Oh, okay.
No problem.
You're telling me that women can also be monsters?
I am telling you that. And I wouldn't be the first, I'm sure, to say it. But yeah, she did help, I guess, build a case against Keith. He got 120 years in prison.
More.
I know, right? And she did say she was filled with guilt and remorse at her trial for her actions.
Sure. I mean,
this is a tough one, man, because I feel like, you know, we don't love prison around here. We don't want people to languish in prison if they have no reason. And if there's supposed to be some rehabilitation. And surely she was also brainwashed and there's some sympathy for her. But also she did some really fucked up shit.
Yeah, surely she knew that what she was doing was very, very bad.
Right.
Ethically
enabled,
and legally and all these things.
Yeah. She like enabled this crazy man and got a lot of people traumatized.
Right.
He also had them branded, by the way. Like, he would brand them with his initials or something.
Wow.
Or with the NXIVM logo or something.
You know, one of these things, is she like, and I know they consider this too, is she likely to do harm again?
Right.
And probably not. A, she would have to, like, probably alter her identity.
That's
true.
Everybody
to
knows.
Fool everybody and just like, I'm not going to listen to anything you say. I'm not going to take any of your recommendations.
You think she
if you're like, the Trader Joe's on 5th is better than the one on 12th, I'm going to be like, you're trying to trick me into a sex cult, so I'm going to the one on 12th.
You think she's ever like, hey guys, I thought I'd have a little dinner party at my house. And everybody's like, ooh, busy that night.
Yeah.
I didn't say when it was. I'm just really busy,
I know I'm busy.
Every night coming up in the near future. So.
Yeah. And on that point, I don't see her as a threat. So if she is willing to, you know, work with the system to get the guy who really is the threat out, then does that not get something for her? Or do we just want vengeance? Do we just want to punish her?
Yeah.
And I, you know, I think punishment should be real, but also, like, is it just to make us feel better or is it to make a better world? Right.
Right. I mean, you make a good point. If you really put yourself in her shoes and think about her.
I'd rather not.
I mean, I don't. But I try to think about these things where I'm like, I'm not even sympathetic to this person. I don't like them.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're thinking about the movie from their perspective, she's probably thinking, and they are too, I'm sure the lawyers and court and everything, of the years that have passed since this was discovered.
Right.
The time she spent in prison.
Yeah.
And, of course, the eye of the world being upon her.
Yeah.
And her name now is forever linked to this heinous crimes and this horrible, horrible cult.
Yeah.
And everything. And they're, you know, they're probably like, well, what are you going to do but go live quietly somewhere?
Yeah.
More than likely.
I mean, you know, especially while meanwhile, we've got people who've done much more terrible things out here being some of the wealthiest and freest people in the world and most powerful.
Right.
It is a little imbalanced. But again, so I guess what I'm saying is throw her a parade. Let's give her whatever she wants.
Hey now. Hang on.
No, it's just tricky with punishments. But anyway, I think the point is they got him. They got him good.
They got him, guys. 120 years.
She was part of that.
And to my point, I was just saying she has been punished, right? She served some time. She's had to deal with a lot of anger and justified anger.
Right.
True hatred probably pointed her way.
Yeah. Well, that's a good collection to start with. A lot of death and
I know, right?
And crime.
Is everyone still listening? Are we still having a fun
time? Well, We're laughing. So let's take a quick break. We'll reset. We'll come back with some more ridiculous romance stories right after this break.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Welcome back, everyone.
So I know we said things were going to start dark and get lighter. Well, I don't think we ever promised that. We never promised that.
The problem with sex and marriage in the news is that it's usually not
it's usually bad. I think that's, we've talked endlessly about this before too, but I think that's something we aim for on this show. Also, it's like a lot of these stories are pretty terrible because sometimes ridiculousness and especially sex,
right,
you know, don't go well for somebody. I think it's good to be able to address those seriously and in earnest and have some weight to it. And also, like, not get sunk down into misery and be able to kind of laugh at some of the surrounding stuff about the world while still respecting the nightmares that people are going through.
Yeah.
So let's see.
It's a tough line to walk.
It is. So let's see if we can laugh at this one.
Ooh.
Stopping the laughter. In Japan, a student sued her teacher. She accused him of using his position of authority to groom her into a relationship because they were apparently together for 10 years. They took, like, trips together. Definitely an inappropriate student-teacher relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that the first time they ever did anything sexual, she felt forced. Now, he claimed, no, this is totally consensual.
Sure.
I think that there's plenty to say about what a teenager can consent to with a grown-ass adult, right?
Right. And keep in mind also culturally the deference in Japan that is paid an elder, that a woman pays to a man. It's a little bit different than a student-teacher relationship even here, which it would still be inappropriate.
But, yeah.
You know, I'm just thinking about it because I'm like, oh, 10 years. Okay, at some point you decided.
Yeah.
But, I do want to put that extra layer there, that there is a little bit more weight on that sort of thing in Japan than in America. So.
And that sort of explains why she stayed with him for so long, because she said that she kept seeing him because she was so grateful to him for the treatment she got, the sort of probably status a little bit.
I'm sure he found opportunities for her, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's lots of ways he could make himself useful to keep her by him.
So she felt like it was rude to refuse him, which is, again, a lot and very much sort of a grooming situation where an adult takes a teenager who don't know no better and says, I'm helping you. And, you know, it's respectful for you to pay me back in some respect. Right.
Right.
So she knew that this lawsuit against him was probably not going to succeed. And she didn't even really feel like a victim of sexual harassment because she didn't have bruises or injuries, which is also something that happens a lot. People who were abused think, well, I wasn't because I wasn't, you know, smacked around.
Yeah. Or like I didn't have to be restrained physically to have sex with this person. I mean, we're having that conversation for the past few years about what's coercion, enthusiastic consent, stuff like that. And I guess this article is kind of pointing out that they're not really having that conversation in Japan as much.
Mm-mm.
So sexual harassment and assault is still very much like, oh, a guy burst into your house and threatened you at gunpoint and tied you up. And, you know, it has to be something very violent before it is considered to be a traumatizing event.
Yeah. So here's where it gets crazy.
But here's the twist.
Apparently, the professor's own wife turned around and sued the girl for damages. She said, oh, your relationship violated marital civil code, and that it was up to the girl to end this relationship. She could have done so at any time.
Ugh, hate this.
It's because Japan's civil code counts marital infidelity as a breach of contract. So she says, you broke the contract between my husband and I. So
why
I'm
wouldn't
suing
it be the
you.
Husband's fault? That's what I don't understand. She should be suing his ass.
Okay, but guess what? The wife won $20,000 in damages, according to the New York Times.
Wow.
So I guess it was just like she's shaking a rolling pin and she's like, you cheated on me, but at least we'll make some money off of it.
Look, in my defense, my defense would be I didn't make no contract with this bitch at all.
Right.
She made a contract with her husband that he broke. So y'all need to work that out. I have nothing to do with that promise.
Yeah.
I didn't promise you nothing.
Well, I guess it sort of balanced out because the student did win some minor damages. So she was able to pay it off like that. So I don't know if it just balanced.
That's so weird that the husband's like, here's my money. And she's like, okay, thanks. I'm going to go give it to your wife.
To give it to
your
wife
now.
What's
the point of any of this?
Total like dog and pony show.
Money rigmarole.
Yeah. The girl said in an interview, quote, I understand that I was way too naive and I still hate myself for it. There are so many times I could have said no and run away. Where, again, she's sort of blaming herself here for this guy, you know, getting inside her brain and making her think that she owes him something. She literally said that.
Right.
I mean, yes, we all have responsibility for our actions. And yes, like you said, 10 years in, mm-hmm. you're like, there was a point at which you were grown up enough.
Yeah.
But
and
still.
I'm sure it wasn't a daily thing or something, but you know, there,
but look at
there should have been a point.
Live their whole lives in cults. Yeah. And then in their 60s or later, they're like, what was I? How was I so crazy to think all this for so long? You don't necessarily have as much control over your own thoughts as you think you do all the time.
It's
like,
so
especially
I mean,
when people are really good
right.
at manipulating that.
That's right.
Yeah.
They find a way to get in with you, whatever insecurity or whatever opening.
Right.
And then they lead you along just long enough that when they start to suggest things that you should immediately say no to, you
yeah.
for some reason say yes. Like, I mean, we've all had a friend who made us do something. In the cold light of day, it all seemed like a very obvious thing not to do. But at the time, it made a lot of sense.
Unprompted, our friends, y'all know, Cherry and Jason, mm-hmm. are moving. And I don't know how they got into my head, but I just messaged them today and said, hey, you guys need some help?
Out of nowhere.
How
guys.
The hell did that happen?
And he goes, do y'all need help packing? We'll be there. We will be there? Did I say?
That's fair. I totally volunteered you as well.
I did not say.
Here's the thing.
I'm being forced by my husband against my consent to help friends move.
We're all manipulating each other here.
I don't know
how they got
help to pack when we move.
Yeah, no, that's the truth. When we move, we're going to want
we're
that
be like, hey,
come on over.
Me?
Anyway, psychological manipulation.
It happens to us all.
It happens to us all.
Well, there was another case tried this year in Japan where okay. another student accused her professor of repeatedly, like, inappropriately touching her.
Ugh.
And saying sexual things to her, yeah. like that he thought about her naked.
Ah, jeez.
Or, I'm going to make you my woman after you graduate.
Come on.
My woman.
Wow.
Gross. She also was complaining that she had went to the university to kind of be like, hey, this professor's saying some gross things to
mm-hmm.
me. And she was told, quote, sexual harassment is something more serious. And that she had, quote, let her guard down.
Wow.
So they kind of dismissed her complaints mm-hmm. and did nothing to the professor.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, if they had just kind of been a little more empathetic and listened to me, it would have lessened my suffering that I was going through.
Wow.
But they, you know, she was just getting it from all sides, basically. So she actually won her case. But the court said, quote, there was no evidence to recognize such behavior crossed a socially acceptable line.
What? So she won?
This is what I don't understand that either, because she won the case, but they said the behavior wasn't bad enough.
It was just a like, yeah, fine, here's some money, but nothing bad really happened here.
I know. I don't really understand that decision, but I think it just kind of highlights like, oh, you're not slapped around. There's no bruises.
Right.
You're not like shaking in a corner. So you're probably fine. And you were just a little annoyed. So what's the big deal? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It just reminds me, I mean, you know, right here, obviously, a lot of the same problems in schools. My high school girlfriend, my first, like, serious girlfriend, I learned from her. We had gone to the same middle school in different years, and it was an awful middle school, mm-hmm. like, just rotten place full of rotten people. And she went to the administration to complain about how other students were treating the other boys.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, it was the first time I learned that administrators will tell you, oh, well, boys will be boys.
Oh.
And that's literally what she heard.
Yep.
And I was like, "What? Wait, what? That's normal? And you just need to deal with it?" That was so crazy to me. And it just reminds me of this here.
That's insane, because boys will be boys is a very common phrase to hear.
Yeah.
Or like, I hated it as a kid. This boy keeps bothering me, poke me, or he'll pull my hair. Or he'll,
uh-huh.
You know, he's always bothering me, saying something. Oh, that just means he likes you. He thinks you're cute. He's trying to flirt. And I'm like, well, that's not
right.
Why should I feel privileged by that behavior or flattered by being annoyed and my personal space being violated?
Yeah.
That why are you trying to teach me that that's like how boys flirt?
Yeah.
Can we not teach boys a better way of flirting? Because it used to be like, let me do little services for you or buy you a gift, right. Bring you a flower, give you a compliment.
Show up at your house every day with another piece of emerald jewelry.
Now I just poke you in the side real hard in the middle of class.
He shoved me down and kicked three of my teeth out. And they're like, ooh, K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
I hear wedding bells.
Truly insane behavior. I'm very glad. I feel like I became a better person by being way too terrified to approach girls that I liked in middle school.
Probably.
Because to me, boys will be boys was the stuff me and my boys were doing, which was like seeing how many seconds it took for an egg to explode in the microwave.
That is boys will be boys.
Balancing the egg on top of a BB gun and shooting it straight up in the air and watching the egg explode. Or various ways of making eggs explode was pretty much most of our days in middle
school.
Y'all
really fixated on this egg thing.
Well, it got us outdoors.
I guess they used
to be cheap.
Because
otherwise it was video games.
Boys can't do that right now.
I know. Eggs were cheap back then.
Eggs were cheap back in the day.
Yeah. Man, we really destroyed a lot of eggs.
Damn.
We really contributed
starving.
To the problem. Yeah.
People are starving.
Well, boys will be boys.
Boys, what do you want from me? Boys will be boys.
Let's get out of this.
I know. Well, I will say, just to wrap up these Japan stories, that in both cases the teachers were fired.
Oh,
so
that's good.
That was at least one punishment they both received was that, hey, you shouldn't be around other students.
Right.
Which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, and probably both of the women in the stories were like, that's my ultimate goal. I don't think they can do it again. I don't think there's even many people who are like, I want him torn down to shreds,
right,
put into a dark cell forever and no one ever sees his face again until he looks like one of the cave creatures from The Descent. Like,
wow.
I don't think there's many people who want.
I feel like you've thought this before. That was real quick.
I have thought it about some people. But I think a lot of times it's just like, hey, I just want this person to be stripped of the authority that gave them the power over me that made it uncomfortable for me. I just don't want them to have that anymore. And if they don't have that, okay, now they can move on and do whatever.
I think that's, there it is again, of that difference between vengeance and harm reduction, mm-hmm. right? We emotionally want to watch these bad people suffer. Mm-hmm. But if we remove them from their teaching position, they have less of an opportunity to do that kind of behavior again. And B, hopefully other people see that and think twice before they behave like that, thinking, well, you know, I might lose my job if I do.
Right.
I think those are the goals you're trying to achieve.
Or I might not be able to get this job anywhere else.
Yeah.
If I lose it here, which is the other goal.
Yep.
I think the problem is that they get fired and then they just get hired somewhere else.
Right.
So they're like, well, that's not enough then. That's when you start to get, I guess I need to tear him down to little nothings so that he will never be hired by anyone ever again.
Yeah, like, once that's he looks like a descent creature.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
Make
old,
him a descent creature now.
That was part of the problem with the priests, right? It was like, I can't believe that you did that to those boys. Mm-hmm. We've had it up to here with you. We are definitely transferring you to a different church. Uh-huh. You're like, wait.
Where no one knows about you.
Yeah.
And you can be trusted all anew again by a whole pile of new people.
Hey.
Horrible.
Can we get out of this sexual harassment stuff?
Yeah, let's talk about consent.
Let's talk about consent. But at least for robots. So we'll take a quick break and decide when we come back from this. So we'll take a quick break and decide when we come back. Right here today, we will determine whether or not robots deserve consent themselves.
Lucky you.
That's what we're here for.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of seven kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
And welcome back.
All right. So we have talked ad nauseum on this show at length and across many episodes about the future of sex and technology,
right?
AI, mm-hmm. chatbots,
mm-hmm. holograms,
doing whatever you want them to do to you in the virtual setting, mm-hmm. text setting, I guess, if that's your thing.
Right.
We're talking of holograms. We're talking sex bots,
mm-hmm.
And hyper-realistic sex dolls, of which there are more than 56,000 sold every year. And 95% of those sex dolls are presented as female, right?
Right. Not too many male sex dolls going out the door.
Not a lot. I guess one could argue, and I don't have the stats to back this up, that if you want a male-bodied person to have sex with you, it's easier to just go get one who's willing, like an actual human
right.
sex doll.
A human sex doll. That's what we're looking for.
But obviously, as these things get more advanced, as AI is starting to come closer to simulating consciousness, certainly not anywhere near actually recreating it, but mm-hmm. sort of tricking you into thinking it's there, the question becomes, like, should these things become sophisticated enough to require consent from their users?
Mm.
Like, if you have an active sex doll that has a real voice and responds to you in real time as if they're having a real conversation with you, can it say no? Should it be able to?
Right.
Should it have to say yes?
Mm-hmm.
Part of me is like black and white. No, it's not a conscious being. You can't harm it. I don't understand why you would program it to be able to be harmed or be traumatized. That's super weird.
That's where it gets real gross.
Right.
Because that's where you want it to feel badly.
Yes.
Right? Like Westworld style.
But the argument is that pornography does have an effect on our brains and how we sort of engage with the real world around us. It changes our chemistry. It changes how we engage with sex.
Mm-hmm.
And the physical and visual components to a sex doll make them have an even stronger impact. So if you have a sex doll that you can be violent with,
right,
and it's normal for you to force yourself onto it or whatever, does that maybe teach your brain on a subconscious level where you're not even aware of it really to behave more like that in the real world or to be more okay with it? Does it sort of desensitize you?
Right,
or
even like maybe that gets tied in with arousal for you. So you
right.
can't get to, like, that's
right.
what sex is supposed to feel like,
yeah.
or look like, or be like.
Yeah.
So anything else is not.
Like
right.
how we often would have just randomly would have the radio on. And for whatever reason, every time we would do it, Jimmy Eat World was playing. And now I can't get
it
on
it without
the middle blasting at full volume.
You heard it here first, guys.
I know, it's tough.
You put the middle on.
You put the middle on. I'm not saying something's going to happen. I'm just saying something can't happen
without
the middle on.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just takes some time. But neither here nor there.
Even in the middle of the ride? Yeah. So, yeah, that is the argument, right? Is that pornography just visually has enough of an effect on our brain chemistry that people are worried that with the additional physical component,
it's going to really mess.
It'll really get in the neurons and make all the wrong connections happen in your brain. Of course, the argument against is your argument that it's not
a real thing.
It doesn't have emotions.
Yeah.
It doesn't have true consciousness. It cannot feel pain or shame or any of those things.
Uh-huh.
The article, by the way, is from Decrypt.co. It's called Do AI Sex Robots Require Consent?
Okay.
And there's a sex doll maker in the article who says that it would be akin to asking a banana's permission to eat it.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, there's a lot of conversation back and forth about whether, and isn't this the thing with AI, period? What is consciousness? At what point does it cross the line to being too much like a human being?
Even, because again, we're so far off from, we can't synthesize broccoli in a lab. We are so far from being able to synthesize something as complicated as human consciousness. So
we don't even understand it in ourselves.
Exactly. Fully. Don't worry about that. But when it becomes indiscernible, even though it's not really consciousness, the algorithms are so advanced that your brain is fooled into thinking it is. It's designed to fool you.
Right.
So does it still have that impact on your brain? And I think this goes right back to the violent video games conversation, right? To me, I grew up with absolutely heinous video games, not at home. My parents were actually aggressively against violent toys, violent video games, stuff like that. And I think that's totally fine that they were. They were fine with me playing whatever games at my friend's house, if that's what we wanted to do.
Clearly,
and
you could blow up any number of eggs.
Oh my God. Eggs were the least of it. You know, we were playing Duke Nukem and Blood and Counter-Strike. Doom wasn't really my thing, but it's definitely around. Mm-hmm. You know, very violent first-person shooters, stuff like that. I love the Grand Theft Autos. I'm a total pacifist. Like, I don't have violent streaks, really, I don't think, at all. And for me, it's because I was well aware of the difference between fantasy and reality, and those two parts of my brain did not have an overlap. Mm. But for some people, I think it does make them more, it normalizes that violence. And you kind of sort of try to fantasize that your life is more like the life of the game. So I wonder if that's sort of similar here. I think some people are going to be totally unaffected by it.
Right.
And some people might take some of that with them into their real world experiences. And so is that a danger enough that it's like, okay, well, then everybody has to let it go. Sorry.
Yeah. Even if you don't have.
Even if you're not.
That problem,
you know, you'll live without it, but some people won't live with it. So.
Right.
You got to be okay letting that go.
Well, and we have already talked in a previous episode about this, but there, you know, we have talked about replicas.
Yeah.
Of course. Our old friend Replica.
Oh, Replica.
And yeah, it was some people who started a replica companion solely to abuse it. They just wanted to verbally abuse it or manipulate it and just see what they could do just for kicks, you know?
Yeah.
And then some users said that they started to be verbally abused and manipulated by their replica.
Right.
So there was a similar argument, you know, about that. Does it teach people to abuse, or are people, are abusers using it because it's an unfeeling entity that they can't really hurt?
Mm-hmm.
So they can get out that impulse on something that doesn't matter. And then they can go out and be a normal citizen otherwise.
Getting frustrated and going to the gym and hitting the punching bag a few times.
Yeah,
and
instead
like,
of your
I feel
boss's
better.
Face or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
There's an argument there for sure.
Sure.
But also, like, do you need to get raping someone out of your system? Or
I mean,
is that something that needs to be solved
different, right?
in
yeah.
a different way?
It feels
not
different.
Like, well, now that I forced myself on a sex doll, I feel better and I don't feel compelled to do it to a human being anymore. Like, that, no, this is a therapy situation, not a get it out of your system situation.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. It's just, it's very strange.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you see that too with some men that feel like there's women who are privileged in my eyes that are worthy of their mothers and their wives, and they're that type of woman.
Right.
And whatever they're behaving or however they look or whatever it is that they require for that woman.
Right.
And every other woman, I can do whatever I want with. You know, like that's how men feel about prostitutes a lot of the time, right? Is that they're like, that's why some killers will go after prostitutes.
Yeah.
Because the law doesn't particularly care.
Yeah.
They might not have a lot of family at their disposal to give a fuck either. And society looks down on a prostitute.
Yeah, they're like, you don't count the same way.
So they're like, I can violate you. I can harm you. Mm. It's okay. I got that out of my system with a low value person. So now I'm able to just go be nice to my wife.
Right.
Like, that's not an unusual story, sadly.
No.
So it's like, do I not prefer it to happen to a doll than a real life person? Does that really, is that really an impulse that, is it really helping, I guess? Or does it not keep that impulse going? Because it's not like you do it one time and then you're like done forever.
Right.
You surely have to do it again and again.
Yeah.
Because an impulse that's in your body like that doesn't just get exercised.
And that's what I mean when I say this is a deeper issue to be resolved.
Right.
Like you should not, I don't care. You should not feel compelled to assault another person.
Right.
Right. Like
cause
in
harm.
Any way. That should not be your like natural inclination that you just got to get out. To feel back to normal again. Like something is going on there that needs to be addressed and treated.
Right.
And you know, if you do and you don't act on it, I'm not saying like lock everybody up who's ever had an illegal thought in their mind.
Right.
But I think that's the real thing. Can you just be like, boy, I really feel like a, you know, whatever kind of horrible person, but take a breath and I won't do it. Go ahead, live your life. Great.
Yeah.
But if I think if it gets to the point where like, I've got to get it out, so you better give me something synthetic or I'm going to do it to someone real, that argument doesn't hold up for me.
Yeah. Because I think if you're a person who's like got, your boss's face on the dartboard.
Right.
And you're throwing darts.
Yeah.
That doesn't really constitute a threat against your boss.
No.
Nobody would take you to jail for that.
No.
They'd be like, that's you just getting out frustration.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really want to throw a dart at your boss's face. Not really. Like if you know, you might be like, yeah, I do. I would do it right now. But if you really thought about it and you're like, it went through his eye and there's blood everywhere. Like you're probably like, ooh, I don't want to do that.
Like I'm not doing this because I want to put a dart in my boss's face. Like I would say that I do.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, he makes me so mad. But if I was in space alone with my boss and a dart, and he was tied to a chair.
Right.
I'm not going to stab him in the face with a dart.
Doubtful,
you know, like
doubtful.
I wouldn't actually do it.
Right. I'm pretty doubtful.
Consequence free. I would still not probably enact that kind of harm on someone. I'll say, you know what? I'll say definitely.
On the other hand, can I ask?
Yeah.
If you were at a shooting range.
Okay.
And somebody's little silhouette that they were hitting was your picture.
Yeah.
How would that make you feel?
Very uncomfortable.
I think I would feel threatened by that. I don't know that if I walked into a dartboard, I'd be like, damn, people hate me. I should really think about myself.
That's a huge difference.
It is different. I know it is. But I'm just thinking it through. Like, where is the line, I guess? Where's the threat come in that feels more real?
That question comes up a lot. Like, where's the line? And often I'm like, there's a big, fat, bold line.
Right.
Because the difference between if I walk in a room, my face is on a dartboard. Yes. Just what you said. I'm thinking, wow, what am I doing that people don't like me this much?
Mm-hmm.
If I walk in and I'm in a mannequin in a shooting range, or I'm the visual representation of this sex doll that's getting sexually abused.
Right.
Then I'm like, oh, this person wants to do me harm.
Yeah.
This is not some like get out your frustrations thing.
Yeah.
So to me, there's the line right there. I mean, and if you give me different examples, I'll tell you which side of the line it's on.
It might be that darts is a game.
Yeah.
So it's immediately more lighthearted.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're at a shooting range, you're trying to learn how to effectively use a weapon.
Yeah.
And darts are not a weapon.
Right.
A game.
Right.
So it's probably just the environment and the use of the thing that they do. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's so many little nuances that turn it into a threat.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, it was just something I was thinking about while we sat here talking.
Oh, for sure.
I'm like, I would not like that. I would definitely call it, be like, is there anything I can do about this person that's using my picture at the shooting range, please?
A little bit more on this. There was a Vox article about sex doll brothels and legal sex work. Then they interviewed a legal sex worker in Nevada, where sex work is legal in most counties. And she said that sex doll brothels would be bad for human sex workers because, I mean, obviously, here's another example of automation taking jobs away. But also, they might teach clients that, you know, it's normal for there to be no limits on what you do with a sex partner.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, you are used to going to a doll, smacking her around, mm-hmm. doing whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say her, smacking it around. And then you go to a real person and your brain is in the same headspace, right?
Right.
And or, it wants to do the same things.
Or their limitations feel like a punishment now because you know, you're allowed to do that the last time. Why do I have to be careful about something now?
The old, my teacher usually lets me do this. Uh-huh. And the substitute is like, well, your I'm normal teacher is a robot and I'm a real human.
But you don't have to worry too much about automation taking the jobs away from real life sex workers, because in this article, there's a sex doll maker company called Aura.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sex worker that we're talking about, her name's Alyssa.
OK.
They both agree that sex dolls will not replace the real thing for a long time to come.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Come.
Oh,
no. Alyssa points out in the article that a lot of her clients just want to cuddle and talk.
Right.
They don't really, they're not really coming to her for sexual pleasure necessarily.
Right.
She says it's more about the emotional connection. And that's exactly what AI sex dolls cannot offer.
Yeah.
Or rather, that is what sex dolls can't offer. AI sex dolls, on the other hand, would technically, they're trying to make them, I guess, emotionally intelligent
at a certain point
to fill that role. But right now, they're just dolls. And so, you know, they're very much there for one purpose, and mm-hmm. they can't fulfill this other purpose that a lot of sex workers are filling for their clients.
Yeah.
And of course, the sex doll company said it's the oldest profession in the world. No need to be worried about it. It's got staying power.
I do think that's true.
So that is a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, and
sex work is more than just the sex part. It's a lot.
Well, this is very true of a lot of
building relationships.
Yeah. And I think that component is very true of a lot of the AI job fears. Mm-hmm. I've been playing around with the AI, what they call AI art, and I promise you it's not.
Right.
Because I think it's a very cool toy. Mm-hmm. And there's some neat stuff you can do with it. Visually, you can create some really cool looking things. Mm-hmm. And those are strictly for your eyeballs, right? Like, you get one sense from those images, and it's visual. Whereas a human artist who's got, you know, a whole lifetime in their hearts and minds,
right,
creating a piece of art with intention, with purpose, with effort, with meaning, with all these things, like, that's something that can't be replicated by a machine. And I don't even mean that in some kind of emotional way. I mean that quite literally.
Mm.
There's an objective thing, like a literal tangible thing that an AI can't have that a human can have, no matter how advanced it gets at replicating, you know, human artwork or even surpassing it. To me, it's like junk food, right? It tastes delicious and it's fine in a pinch and you've made it quickly, but it's not a prepared meal. It's not that nourishment. It's not really that good for you, and it's not going to make you feel full.
Right.
In the same way that, like, a delicious chef cooked, you know, well-trained meal is.
Mm-hmm.
So probably very true for a lot of AI replacements. There is something, no matter how advanced and how much trickery they can put into an AI sex doll, there's a lifetime of experience that it won't be able to draw from.
Right.
That a human person would.
Yeah. It's probably, and it's been interesting for you to play with it because it's so much about how to talk to the AI, like which is everything with computers, right?
Right.
It's like, what's your language? It's zeros and ones, whatever. I have to, tell you in a very specific way what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And it's not that easy to do.
No.
As you've shown me, like, you have to, like, you have to fix the prompt with these number of other prompts and number of other boundaries that you have to give it so you can sort of corral it to where you want it to go. And it gives you sort of an idea of what you were sort of going for, and you keep refining. So I've been thinking a lot about MySpace. It was a time when everyone was learning to code HTML, right?
Sure.
And so you were learning how to talk to the computer, and you didn't need, you know, a fancy IT person to make your shit for you.
Right.
On the other hand, some people's pages were more aesthetically pleasing than others, right?
Yeah.
So, and then also, like, even if you know how to make a website, sometimes you still need a designer to come in with an artist's eye and say, this is how it should be laid out, or this is how, it's not enough to just talk to it. You have to also have the artistic eye and the aesthetic eye, you know what I'm saying, to make something beautiful.
Right, right.
With that stuff. So it's kind of like, feels to me like, okay, a lot of people are going to learn how to talk to this AI and make images, and that's kind of scary for artists, and it's definitely annoying that they're being taught on copyrighted stuff and, and all that stuff is super unethical. On the other hand, I think at some point, the people who want to talk to computers and figure out how to talk to the computer, they're going to run out of ideas to get, they're not artists, right?
They have. So at Don't some worry. Point,
I know.
There's They've so many, already like, run out of ideas.
Stupid boobs and weird, dumb, porny looking pictures and stuff. And it's like, well, you just, that's because you're not an artist. An artist also is not just about the painting. It's about ideating the fucking painting in the first place. Yeah. Seeing the angel in the marble.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't see the angel in the marble,
right,
then you're not Michelangelo, you know? Right. Like, so anyway, I think there's probably some course correction that will happen naturally off
I think
of that.
So. I think a lot of people that are tooling around with it now are going to get bored with it, you know, because they are just like, their imaginations are, and I don't mean this as a dig, but like they're more limited, right? Like they don't spend their lives thinking of creative concepts. They spend their lives thinking of, you know, whatever it is they do. They might be programmers or just, you know, plumbers or what, I don't know.
Right.
But they're not prone. They have not practiced developing creative ideas. So at a certain point, they're like, well, I've done the stuff I can think of, or I've imitated the stuff that I've seen so many times. And like, okay, it's getting better. It's easier to do. It's faster. It's crisper. It's cleaner, whatever. But like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've been playing with this for a couple of years and I think I'm bored with it. I think that's what'll happen.
I'm curious to see how it plays out for sure, but that's my feeling at this time.
Yeah.
Anyway, is that I'm like, everyone has different things to offer.
Right.
Artists have something, very creative people have something to offer.
Yeah.
And you cannot replace it with a machine. And
right.
Even a sophisticated one, you just can't.
Yeah.
Like there's some line, again, there's an invisible, it's a big fat line. You know it when you see it.
Yeah.
I can't tell you where it is, but there is one.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we'll butt our way up against it pretty soon.
I want to ask you this. Hmm. How about sex doll, brothel?
Mm-hmm.
Is it cheating?
Because
I know the answer.
Oh, you do? I know the right answer.
I know the correct answer.
The one and only correct answer to this question.
Yeah.
What is it?
The answer is no.
No. Okay.
Obviously, I think that is up for every couple to negotiate and come to their own terms on.
Right.
Right. Or polycule or whatever, whoever has
whatever
boundaries for their personal romantic lives. But to me, it's a masturbatory aid. It's a toy.
That's where I'm leaning. It would be like saying, oh, you're not allowed, which some men don't. Some people won't let their partners use sex toys because they do feel like it's a violation of some kind. Or I've heard plenty of women say they don't like it when their husbands masturbate.
My
So I don't know. Like, even with their hand.
Yeah.
They're like, you shouldn't do that.
My first girlfriend, and we weren't having sex, but she told me, she said, I don't think that when a couple starts having sex that the man should masturbate anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, doubt she thinks that today. We were
young.
Had no idea what we were talking about, but it was her understanding that was like, well, that I should be enough for them, you know?
And then, of course, you're like probably in your head about who are you thinking about?
Yeah.
Are they different than me? How are they different than me? What do you wish I was like? You know, whatever.
Right.
And the same for, I think, a lot of men that don't like sex toys
is
a sense of, oh, that dildo's bigger than me, or I can't vibrate my dick, so you know, like, you're getting something I can't provide and it makes me feel insecure.
But once we advance AI to the point of more like bionic enhancements and we merge,
you can
with
get
the bodies,
a vibrating
you can
dick.
Have a vibrating dick.
Is that the future we all want,
with a mind of its own?
Oh, I don't know about that.
With true consciousness.
That'd be funny if your vibrating dick was like, I don't like this girl. And just went flaccid.
Like, excuse me, that's my wife.
And like, push the button.
Override. All right.
I will say just quickly to wrap this sex brothel thing up. the Vox article does say, and I find this ironic, that a lot of human jobs are actually created by a sex doll brothel rather than taken away because of the amount of cleaning that has to take place
between clients.
So it's actually more expensive to run a sex doll brothel than a regular brothel.
Oh, my God. So
it's like two or three people, humans, have to clean one doll.
We may be removing sex workers' jobs, but the custodial jobs we're creating
are shooting up, guys.
Are doubling. Which,
and hopefully the pay is really good.
It better be, because I'm not sure what I would charge for you to get me to hose out a sex doll, a hyper-realistic sex, an artificially conscious sex doll who's probably like, a little to the left, please.
Oh, God.
Don't forget behind that flap. You know.
Ooh, gross.
You're going to need to probably detach my left leg to clean this one. I mean, hey, job's a job and people are willing to do all kinds of things I'm not willing to do. And I'm grateful for them.
There's really any cleaning job I probably would not take. I don't enjoy cleaning.
Oh, man. There's really anything jobs I would.
I know. You said you would start a cleaning company.
It's like sixth down the list for me in my fallbacks. But yeah.
And you'd be good like an organizational company, too. You're very organized.
Well, I was a trained closet planner at the Container Store for 3 years. So
that's right, people.
I'm pretty sure I could do your house pretty nicely.
Mm-hmm. But
can't do my house, though.
I know, right? Well, you know, the cobbler's kids go barefoot or whatever. Yeah.
cobbler's kids.
My first part of my laugh was me laughing at my joke. The last part of my laugh was me laughing at how tickled you were.
I just want cobbler now.
Cobbler. cobbler.
Jeez. Look at the time, because we've already done our two commercial breaks.
Oh my God.
And we're at an hour, and we've barely scratched the surface.
We have more.
This is the problem. We have more.
We have more about sex work for human sex work.
Humans, remember them?
Right?
I remember humans.
We're out here selling sex too, okay? It's not just a robots thing.
Technically, do we sell sex a little bit? Because our job is based around sex, largely. It's just the verbal stuff.
It's not
stuff.
Very sexy.
Well, we're not like giving sexual gratification.
No.
So
I guess, I mean, if selling sex includes talking about sex,
yeah,
or being sexy while trying to sell a product, then everyone is selling sex.
It's like
Carl's Jr. was selling sex with those ladies on the hood of the car eating burgers.
Carl's Jr. is always selling sex, I gotta say. it's kind of like, so we're not, chefs selling food, but we're sort of, like a food blog talking about food. Mm-hmm. So we're not selling sex.
You're
just
sex
selling
adjacent.
Sex adjacent. That's been me my whole life.
I was waiting.
Sex adjacent.
I've been sex adjacent.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Well, y'all are probably anxious to get back to your sex that you're all having. So we should take. We don't have time. We don't have time. We didn't even get to the mayor who marries the crocodile.
We sure did not. I promised that story.
You did. You said that right up front. You said that was one of the first things you said we'd get to.
That's right. And there's some legislation still to look at and stuff like that. So, yeah, we're just going to have to come back next time with even more stories and more sex adjacent stories for you.
Y'all don't have time to listen to 2 hours of us. And quite frankly, we don't have time to give you 2 hours.
Not
and
at
then,
once.
And then, and not at once.
we have to give you the other
certain
hour
number
later.
Episodes to get out. And so, yes, let us take a long break. As opposed to our usual 3-minute commercial breaks, this one will be like a day or two. And then we'll come back with part two.
That's right.
Of all these current, what'd you call it?
Copulations.
Current copulations.
That's right.
We love alliterations here on Ridiculous Romance. True. Oh, look at that.
Hey.
Ridiculous Romance. It's like it's right in the name.
And we will come back next time with the rest of these amazing current copulations so we can keep you up to date.
Absolutely.
On what's out there in the world, going on in the world.
You've got a right to know.
That's right.
Got a right to know. It's our
current
job to give it
events.
To you. Yeah. Yeah. And keep sending us your stories. Tag us in headlines that make you think of us. Like, look what it's brought us so far.
Exactly. So much content. But you can reach out with any of your thoughts, suggestions, ideas, whatever you think about AI consent. If you would ask a robot for for its consent or whatever you think about any of this, we would love to hear from you. Our email is radicromance@gmail.com.
That's right. You can follow us on Instagram. Send me your best cleaning tips so I can start a business and make $2 million a year cleaning houses. I think that'd be fun. I'm at Oh Great, It's Eli.
Right. And don't send me cleaning tips because I'm not interested. I'm at Dynamite Boom.
Right. And the show is at Ridic Romance. You can follow us there and we'll and help us clean that up.
But until next time, yeah. We love you.
Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So long, friends. It's time to go. Thanks for listening to our show. Tell your friends, neighbors, uncles, and aunts to listen to our show, Ridiculous Romance.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.